In Titus chapter 2:11, Paul writes to Titus, "Hear the word of God. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be uncontentious, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." This is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God may be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for all men. Let us pray. We ask you, Father, that you would be with us this evening as we continue to worship you and to remember Jesus Christ. Now, as we look to this passage of Scripture and consider what it has to say to us, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds to take it in and to understand and to build our lives upon it. We thank you that Christ has appeared as he promised he would in the Old Testament, and that he appeared just as the Scripture said he would, and he lived his life as it was promised long ago. And we thank you that just as surely as he fulfilled all the promises of his first appearing, so shall he do with his second. Help us to understand that Christ has come and is coming again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 11, we have a little word that's used several times in the New Testament. It is the word appeared. And if you were to translate that word literally, it would mean to shine upon. It is the word from which we get Epiphany, which some Christians at this time of year use as their description of the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, Epiphany. It means to shine upon. It means that he has entered a dark world as light. For the grace of God has appeared. This word is referring to his first coming. It's referring to his birth of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem, where God entered this world for a purpose, to bring his grace to sinners. The grace of God has appeared. When we read this little story about the angels announcing his birth and the shepherds in the fields and Mary and Joseph finding no room in the inn and our Lord being born probably in a stable or cave, the humblest birth there could be on earth, we do not need to sentimentalize his birth, but we do need to remember one thing. When he came, the grace of God came. God's undeserved love and kindness. In chapter 3, verse 4, after he had rehearsed that we are no different than those around us, we who have found God's mercy and kindness are no different. And we're to be through with these sins that he mentions in the first three verses. In verse 4, he says, when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, and there's that word again. When our Lord Jesus Christ entered this dark world and took on human flesh, not ceasing to be fully God, grace appeared in this world. Kindness appeared in this world. And what we read in John 1:14 is true. He is full of grace and truth. If he were just full of truth, it would do us no good. It would only condemn us in our sin. That because he was full of grace and came to do something, to bring grace to sinners, we have hope. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. And that grace does something. The appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ in verse 12 of chapter 2 instructs us. It instructs us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. And in verse 13, it does another thing. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. And this word appearing in verse 13 is referring to his second coming, when he shall shine upon the earth. When the light of the world that is known only by faith now, whose face is like the sun shining in its strength, he shall shine upon us again. And we shall see him in his fullness, full of grace and truth. And we shall become like him, for we shall see him as he is. The grace of God instructs. It is not just something to enjoy. It is not just something to rejoice in, but it is something that instructs us. For we ourselves, in verse 3 of chapter 3, were once foolish. Our foolish hearts were darkened. We were cut off from God and without God in the world. We ourselves once were disobedient. We were disobedient to parents. We were disobedient to teachers whom God has placed over us. We were disobedient to our employers and grumbled and complained upon the jobs. We were disobedient to our army sergeants and lieutenants, to almost anyone who was over us. We were disobedient. We were deceived. We thought we were leading the life that was a happy life, the life where we get what we want and we work hard to get it and then we'll be happy. But we were deceived. We were enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, the things we enjoyed or thought we enjoyed, actually were our masters and we could not do without them. We always had to be doing something. Something to take our minds off of being still and knowing that He is God. Filling our days and our times with music and sports, which are good in and of themselves, but not if they fill our days, that God may not fill our hearts. So we were enslaved to our various lusts and pleasures. That seemed innocent enough, but we could not do without them. We were full of malice and envy, spending our life, wasting our life like we spend money on malice, grumbling and complaining and thinking bitter thoughts about how badly we've been treated, envying others who seem to be ahead of us or get things we did not have, and we became hateful, hating one another. But then the grace of God appeared. Christ was born. And the kindness of God sent His own Son to die for these things that we have done against Him and against others. Out of kindness, out of goodness, out of the undeserved love in His heart, and therefore, having been blessed with a Savior to intercede for us and to redeem us from our sins and to rule over us and be with us and never leave us and forsake us, that grace of God instructs us. It instructs us not to be what we once were, but to be different. That the grace of God which has appeared before our eyes in the person of Jesus Christ would teach us how to live differently. The grace of God instructs us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly or self-controlled, righteously and godly in the present age. The grace of God has appeared. And once you have tasted of God's kindness and grace and goodness, you cannot be the same again. Once you believe that the Son of God had you upon His heart when He suffered what He did for your sins, you cannot be the same. You cannot live hatefully anymore. You may sin and have times where you hate another, but you cannot stay there. You look into the cross of Christ and you see that hatefulness was punished there. You may be envious and complaining about what God has dealt you for a moment, but you cannot stay there because you look at the cross and there you see the love of God displayed, eternity purchased for you, a place prepared for you. Christ has died for sinners. The grace of God has appeared. The kindness of God has appeared. And we can no longer live in malice and envy, hating and hateful. And therefore, we are called to malign no one. That means to speak evilly about others with the intention of hurting them before others, spreading their worst faults that others may agree with you. We are called to be uncontentious. Uncontentious, not always disagreeing, not always picking out the weakness, not always making the other person feel as if what they say has no worth at all. We're to be gentle and show every consideration for all men because the grace of God has appeared. That little babe that was born in Bethlehem came to die. He may have entered the world to the song of angels, but he left this world having suffered the separation of God his Father for the sins that he bore, which he never committed. And so the grace of God has appeared for us, bringing salvation, instructing us, and causing us to look for the blessed hope of his return. And we're to remember every time we think of him in verse 14 of chapter 2 that he is our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. A people who care about other people, who are more concerned with others' needs than their own, who want to show kindness, who want to show grace, who don't sit around complaining about what has not been done for them, but looks at the cross and understands that everything has been done for them. Everything. And now they have dedicated their life to engage in good deeds and to show the kindness and grace that God sent upon us when the Son of God appeared. In Luke chapter 1, this word appeared is used another time, and it is specifically talking about the birth of Jesus Christ. Zacharias prophesies in the temple over his son, John the Baptist. And he says in Luke 1:76, "And you, child," that is John the Baptist, "will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high shall visit us, to appear, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Our Lord Jesus Christ is that sunrise from on high, who, just like the sun appearing over the horizon in the morning sky, shines upon those who sit in darkness and shows them the grace of God, the love of God, the kindness of God, and teaches them by his death, by his resurrection, how to be gracious and kind as well. Our Lord Jesus Christ has appeared. And going back to Titus 2, I want to close with this reading. You'll notice in Titus 2:11 it says, "For the grace of God has appeared." And it's referring to everything that goes before it in the first 10 verses. Titus chapter 10, chapter 2. In the first 10 verses of Titus 2, these are the things that we are to do. These are the things that we're to be like as God's people. "For the grace of God has appeared. For Christ has been born into this dark world." We are to be this way because of that. "But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. To show all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, in order that the opponent may be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. Why? Why be that way? For the grace of God has appeared. Something has happened to redeem us from our sins. And it requires a response. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. There is so much that goes on this time of year that takes our minds off what we really celebrate. And what we celebrate is the grace of God. Jesus Christ our Lord, who has entered a dark world to make us children of light, who has been so kind and gracious to us to teach us how to be kind and gracious and zealous for good deeds. So as we take the supper tonight, let us remember why He came, and let us commit ourselves to His great love and grace toward us to be what He has called us to be. Let us pray together.